Steelers Bills this weekend. We've got a key to this game in how plays are called and something that can really help Kenny Pickett. It's a specific concept that wasn't used much in the Ben Roethlisberger era, especially when he got older, but something that could help the Steelers pull off an upset maybe against the Bills. We'll talk about that, all our week five picks here. Also, we'll be getting our full final predictions on Steelers versus Bills. Joining me today is Josh Taylor of KDKA TV and 93.7 The Fan. I'm your host, Chris Carter, on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things in the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Remember to give us five star rating plus a positive comment on Apple Podcasts if you want to shout out at the end of the show. Doing so really helps us out. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Be sure to go to Bet Online where the game starts. As I said, we're joined by Josh Taylor. He makes his triumphant return to the podcast. Josh, how you doing, my man?
I need to apologize to people watching on YouTube. Your screen's not messed up. Your computer's not messed up. I am literally bouncing in my chair. You're not crazy. I'm kind of pumped up to be on this show, man. We have had discussions, Chris, about, I mean, it's probably a good 70 to 80% of the stuff we've already seen this season and stuff we've talked about, things that we mentioned to look for, things that we thought would happen. And it's pretty much been the way we anticipated it. And now we got discussions today that I am all but excited to get into. So let's go.
So let's talk about it. I want to focus on play action and how that works for the Steelers offense. Now, for the record, play action, you know, has been something that, you know, we've talked about before. We talked about how it needed to be a staple of this offense going into the season. We talked about how with the way that this offense was going to work, whether it was with Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett or even Mason Rudolph, play action needed to be part of it. And it needed to be more part of it. Last year, or excuse me, that was 2020. That was 2020 that I looked at there. Last year, you saw, well, okay, let's put it this way. Everyone knows that play action was not part of the Steelers' offense with Ben Roethlisberger in his old age. In 2020, when it was still under Randy Feitner, when Ben Roethlisberger, of his plays, 90.3% of them were not play action, which means less than 10% of the Steelers' plays were play action. And then on top of that, in 2021, that number doubled. It went to 18.5% play action. But that's still a very low percentage in an offense that's not particularly – it's not like the Steelers were a, you know, prolific offense in doing so. And it makes it tough when you're not running play action well enough to open up the ground game, because then people can see the ground game coming more often. Now, let's compare that to what Mitch Trubisky did it. Now, in the first – in his games that he's played just this year for the Steelers, 82.8% of those were not play action. 17.2% of his dropbacks were play action. He's thrown a touchdown, an interception. He's been sacked twice. You know, so not really the same pace there. But when Kenny Pickett went into the game, Josh, and this is just the second half numbers from last week, play action. For the play action percentage was 37.5%. Like, it just skyrocketed. It's almost like they trusted him to use it more, and you saw the efficiency in the offense. You saw Najee Harris average over 4 yards per carry. You saw the offense start to click a little better. There'd be some rhythm, and you saw the Jets defense, granted not a good defense, but you saw them get on their heels a bit. That allowed the Steelers to move the ball. They had their longest touchdown drive of the season. Those type of things really worked. And I'll also say, when you look at Kenny Pickett, he just with his pit numbers last year, 21.5% of his dropbacks under Mark Whipple were play action. So not like a high number, but
higher than it was before he got here, though.
Right. But 16 touchdowns to two interceptions with a 122.7 NFL passer rating. If you use those numbers to translate to the NFL, college passer rating is weird. It can get to like 300. It's ridiculous. But point being, Ben Roethlisberger, when he was in play action, had a passer rating of 73.3. Mitch Trubisky had one of 105.2 just this season in doing it. So again, it shows that it was helping him. I'm here to iterate. They better go to play action a lot. Like, I'm a person that said, I don't blame Matt Canada for everything under the sun with the Steelers offense and play calls and all that, because there's guys that are open. But if play action is not a facet of this offense on Sunday, there will be complaints.
Chris, I'm starting to think you're following me around. I've been saying this for the past 2 to 3 weeks now. I know a lot of people have had a lot of criticisms about Matt Canada, and some of them are valid. But my biggest one has been the same one for 3 weeks now. This offense has to run the football. This offense has to use play action. If they don't do those two things, they can't really do anything else that they want to do. And I keep hearing everybody talk about, like, well, Matt Canada is running a college offense. Meanwhile, just about every team in the league is running a college offense. If you knew how offenses work, you'd understand that. However, another thing I hear is like, oh, well, you know, they don't know how to, you know, they don't know how to take shots downfield. You know what helps open up shots downfield? Running the football and setting up play action. That helps you get shots downfield. I said this before, going into this game against the Jets, the four touchdown drives that this team had all season, and there's only been four, but there was a balance of run and pass in each of those touchdown drives. And the drive against Cleveland that eventually stalled out because of the illegal man downfield call against Chukwuma Okorafor at the first drive of the third quarter. That drive was actually going pretty well, and they would have kept moving the ball if that penalty hadn't happened and negated the play on third down. But they also had a balance of run and pass. That's when they move the ball the best. That's when this offense is its most effective. But the best part about it is they tend to play off each other. Mm-hmm. The passing game, if it goes well, they're taking shots downfield off play action, it's going to open up the run game, like you mentioned. And the run game is going to have some of these guys more likely to come in the box and open up the pass game. It creates a balance. And that's the one thing that you're seeing more teams in this league go to. And I've been talking about this even in terms of Kenny Pickett. I keep reminding people, the very first play the Steelers ever ran with Kenny Pickett under center, that day when he came running on the field and everybody's mm-hmm. cheering, hey, Kenny, hey, and they got in the huddle, they called a play, they lined up. I bet no one remembers what kind of play it was. It was a play action, and he rolled out to the right side, mm-hmm. dumped it off to the tight end.
Quick pass.
Nice quick gain on first down. Mm-hmm. And what does this offense really not do well most of the time? They don't win on first down or second down very often. You know what helps them do that? Running the ball and setting up play action. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that Kenny Pickett actually excels in. That's what my premise has been the same. Doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Run the ball, set up play action, and use those things to help you open up other parts of the field. And it stands to reason that's what we saw in the second half against the Jets. We saw spots open in the field. We saw the open middle of the field being used. Last time you and I talked, weren't we talking about a particular guy named Pat Freiermuth? He gets open in the middle of the field a lot, and they didn't use him more. Didn't he catch what? He had the most catches on the team last week against the Jets with 7. And then there was another guy that actually makes plays both in the middle of the field and down the field. I think Pickens is his name. He caught 6 of them. Mm-hmm. It's almost, Chris, like we're reading a script and they almost don't always follow it. But against the Jets in the second half, they followed it. I felt like this offense with Kenny Pickett in it might be the most true form, because they actually do stick to that script. They run the ball. They use play action. They negotiate the middle of the field. You have to do that for this offense to work. I know everybody's going to give me the whole Matt Canada had one good year at Pitt. Yeah, that one good year at Pitt, they ran for 225 yards a game and beat the eventual national champions on their home field. And by the way, Clemson hasn't lost a home game since. So maybe that does mean something.
That's crazy to think about, by the way.
The last offensive coordinator that went into Clemson and beat their defense was Matt Canada. Chew on that one. That's a stat for you.
I think the bottom line here, though, is, and again, we're not saying Matt Canada is infallible and that he knows
everything. He's not.
But the play calls have been there. I do think that, like, I mean, you see a jump. And granted, we're just talking about a single football half of a sample size. Right. But you see a jump from Mitch Trubisky going from 17.2% to Kenny Pickett's 37.5%. You know, that's more than double. You know,
yeah,
it's practically double, but it's slightly more than double. Like, that's ridiculous. But I think it shows they're confident when he's back there to not panic and play action and to survey the field and take what's there. And you saw it. You know, yes, he threw in a three interceptions. There was one to Pat Freiermuth that I thought was inexcusable, but most, pretty much all the plays, he had an idea of what part of the field was going to be open and where he should attack. And when he was coming off play action, he was understanding how to use it to his advantage. And when you saw him start to do that, that opened up the rushing lanes for Najee Harris.
And all of it. I mean, I guess the best way you can classify it really is chicken and egg. Because you can do one to set up the other, and you can do the other to set up the one. But the bottom line is, as long as that balance is there, that offense is going to work. And this is coming back to what we're talking about with Matt Canada. I like the two quarters of play that we saw, or should I say quarter and a half of play, because that latter part of the fourth quarter, up until that last 4 minutes, I was satisfied. But at the same time, and this isn't really a Kenny Pickett problem part of this, but the latter part of it is an offense as a whole problem. And this is something I keep bringing up with people. This offense has not started and completed a touchdown drive in either the first quarter or the fourth quarter all season. That's a problem.
Yeah.
They have not had the first touchdown of the game with their own unit on the field in three of the last five games dating back to the playoff game against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Micah Fitzpatrick scored one against Cincinnati. TJ Watt scored one against Kansas City. And Micah Fitzpatrick set up the one against the Jets and almost scored that one himself.
Mm-hmm.
And people keep saying, well, I don't understand why the defense can't do this in the fourth quarter. Well, they shouldn't be doing the offense's job in the first three.
Yep.
Have we talked about that part? This team has to start out better in the first quarter. It has to close out games better in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to come right back to what we've been talking about. A good way to start a game and a good way to close out a game: run the ball, set up play action, don't turn it over, which is the very last thing. They did it in their first drive against the Jets, and it did in that last game against the Jets that wasn't the Hail Mary. They did the one thing you're not supposed to do in the beginning and the end of the game, which is turn the ball over. Run it, set up play action, use that to your advantage. If they can get to that script and start a game doing that with Kenny Pickett, I like their chances a lot more than what we saw in just one half, when they didn't really get to play a complete opportunity to do it. That's really the criticism I have. It's not about Kenny Pickett possibly blowing a game. It's not about Matt Canada not doing his job. It's about the premise of this offense still has to put together a complete four quarters. And they haven't done a complete four quarters of play calling. They haven't had a complete four quarters of execution. And they haven't had a complete four quarters of physicality. But if you can get to what we're talking about, if you can get to the balance of running the football, using play action, and being able to close games out when you need to and start games strong when you need to, then maybe we're talking about a team that could be 3-1 as opposed to 1-3.
We could see that as a possibility. We'll continue to explore that in our full breakdown and preview and final predictions of Steelers versus Bills. We'll do that in our third segment. But next, we're picking all the other NFL games as we do every Friday here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Don't go anywhere. But first, we got to talk to you guys about one of our new sponsors, and that is Simply Safe. Here's a sports analogy for you. When it comes to burglars, your home is like the end zone, and you need the absolute strongest defense that you can muster. This is why I use and trust Simply Safe Home and Security. At Simply Safe, your safety is the only thing that matters. It's cutting-edge technology powered by 24/7 professional monitoring agents who always have your back, so you always know that your home is safe. What I can tell you from my experience with Simply Safe, their staff is really helpful. They're attentive. They pay attention to what you're asking about, and they do everything they can to help you find out what you need, what you're looking for. And if you're in a rough situation, they'll talk you through it and they'll stay with you the entire time. You don't feel like you're talking to a bunch of robots. With 24/7 professional monitoring, Simply Safe's agents call you the moment a threat is detected and dispatch notice to first responders in an emergency, even if you're not home or can't be reached. Simply Safe blankets your home in protection with advanced sensors in every room, window, and door. HD security cameras for inside and outside your home. Customize your perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. Save 20% on your SimpliSafe security system when you sign up for an interactive monitoring plan and get your first month free. All you have to do is visit simplysafe.com/lockedonNFL. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor. We're talking about your Pittsburgh Steelers, but we're taking a break to talk about the rest of the NFL because it's time to pick the games as we do every week. Now, if you don't know about us, we do have a Locked On Steelers Pick'em League on ESPN's Fantasy where we're doing it. I'm doing terrible. I am literally breaking 500 right now because there's so many upsets all the time, and I'm tired of these really good teams losing these teams they shouldn't be losing to, and they're crushing me. But as I try to promise every week, we give shouts out to the people who are in first place right now. That's a tie for two people. We have the Yappin' Yinzer and Gridiron Man, both with 40 wins on the season so far. Keep it up, guys. We see y'all out there. But it's time for Josh and I to give you our picks going into the weekend. Josh, let's start with a game that's going to be a lot better than Thursday Night Football, and that's the right. That was terrible. And that's the Sunday morning game in London, the Giants at 3-1 at the Packers at 3-1. And this is interesting because the Giants and Saquon have found a reviving of Saquon Barkley, and the Packers, they've rebounded from their time against the Vikings that they got destroyed in week one. I think the Packers win. I know it's a neutral stadium and all that. I just trust Aaron Rodgers before I trust anything that's coming out of the Giants. I also know that they're going through some injury issues right now. I'm sticking with the Pack.
It's hard for me to go against the Packers in this game, but I will give the Giants credit. They do two things really well. They run the ball, and they stop the run really well. They've done a really good job of that. Now, some might look at their schedule and throw the whole, you know, the whole they ain't played nobody Paul routine, but, I mean, that's, you know, neither here nor there. But I like the fact also that the Packers run the ball well and also stop the run. So I'm kind of intrigued by that. And the fact that Green Bay, knowing that they didn't really retool with the wide receiver position to help out Aaron Rodgers, they have really gone to trusting Aaron Jones. They had used a couple first-round picks on defense because they knew they needed to retool there. I think the Packers will win this one, and they'll do it more of the old-fashioned way like they've been doing it so far already.
We'll see how that plays out. 2-2 Chargers at 2-2 Browns. Can't figure out either of these teams, Josh, but I'm going with the Chargers. They got to figure this out. I know they're on the road. They're in Cleveland. But the Chargers got too much talent on their roster. I think that they've got to find a way, no matter what's going on with Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler needs to get busy. I think that they handle their business. They can stop the run enough, and that'll be able to limit the Browns. See, I say the Chargers went on the road. What say you?
I think all of this points to Cleveland. LA having to travel from coast to coast.
That does impact games.
And I'm pretty sure it's a 1 o'clock kickoff.
It is.
Cleveland's ability to run the football, I think still will play a role in this game. I think the Chargers being as banged up as they are plays a role in this game. Cleveland's defense is starting to get healthy when Justin Herbert isn't, and that's a problem. All they got to do is get their hands on him or get within, you know, striking distance of him, and I think that creates problems. I think Cleveland wins an ugly one in this one.
Gotcha. Next game, AFC South opponents, the 0-3-1 Texans versus the 2-2 Jaguars. This could be one of your survivor picks for the week. The Jaguars have actually played well despite their 2-2 records. Trevor Lawrence, I think, has handled his situation well. That defensive front gets after people. They're going to get after the Texans. It's going to be a long day for that team.
I love Jacksonville's front line. Yeah. I love how they do their job. They do their thing, man. I love watching them. I'm starting to have a lot of fun watching Trevor Lawrence. Is it too early to start talking about the Jaguars possibly winning the AFC South?
Oh, no, it's never too early to do that. The AFC South stinks. Did you not see the Colts on Thursday Night Football?
I mean, this could be a thing. Jacksonville winning this division, it could be a thing. That's what I was trying to go with this. Like, is this a thing? Because Jacksonville, you know, this can be as much as it is Jacksonville just doing what they got to do, and as much it could be the AFC South being terrible, like you mentioned. But it feels like it's possible, and this game will be a direct reflection of that. And Jacksonville should roll on Houston, especially at home.
2-2 Bears at 3-1 Vikings. I'm going with the Vikings. The Bears, they don't look good at all.
I like the Vikings offense. They have weapons. And Kirk Cousins, we can say what you want about him. but at least he does some of the small things that this offense needs to keep the ball moving. This defense is still pretty good. I mean, I know it's not the era that we saw a couple of years ago under Mike Zimmer, but they have a lot of those pieces left on defense. They can still run with some teams. Minnesota wins this one.
1-3 Lions at 1-3 Patriots. The Patriots are down to Bailey Zappe at quarterback, the Western Kentucky legend. Almost got him a dub last week against the Packers.
Yeah, he did.
I'm rolling with the Patriots. You know, as much as the Lions have exciting things, they're also hurt up. DeAndre Swift isn't going to play. Amon Ross St. Brown isn't going to play. I'm going with the Patriots. I think they use that same rushing offense that crushed the Steelers. They're going to use that on the Lions, and the Lions defense has been terrible.
Am I really starting to crush on the Detroit kneecap biters? I'm starting to. I'm starting to believe in them. This offense puts up points, man. They can score.
They're exciting.
They can score, but the problem is the defense gives up a lot of points too. They lost some shootouts, and that's the issue for them. And I think you're right. New England is going to really – they're going to strap the helmets on. They're going to load up with two tight ends and two running backs, and they will – Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris the hell out of this game. They'll probably run it 40 times and win in Foxborough.
2-2 Seahawks at 1-3 Saints. I'm going with the Seahawks. Geno Smith has impressed me, man. It's crazy. Wes Euler, our man who's on here on Tuesdays, he came on. He's a West Virginia guy, so he's pro Geno Smith. He says it's the Geno Smith revenge tour. Well, I think it continues this week. Man. And they win in New Orleans. But does New Orleans pull this off at home, Josh?
It's usually hard to beat the Saints in New Orleans.
It is tough.
It's usually hard. That dome is a tough place to play. But this New Orleans team ain't the same one we're used to seeing in the regular season in the past, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 years. It's not the same group, especially not on offense. Alvin Kamara, I mean, is he going to play? He didn't play last week. It's just we really don't know what we're going to see from New Orleans. And we know what Seattle is. Mm-hmm. And they're putting up points on teams. And that should scare some people. And I think they're better than people gave them credit for. I'm with Wes, man. Let the Geno revenge tour continue. Play Country Roads at the end. Why not?
Why not? So we both got the Seahawks there. Dolphins at 3-1 at the 2-2 Jets. This is tricky because we know Tua is not going to play. It's going to be a Teddy Bridgewater. I say the Dolphins still win, though. I like their defense. I think that they'll get after Zach Wilson. I think that the Dolphins there, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is not an incomparable quarterback. He's a guy, he can see the field. He can take what's there. And you still got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I know Jalen Waddle was questionable this week, but I think the Dolphins find a way to win. The Jets squeaked one out against the Steelers last week. I don't think that they'll have such luck this week.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater with Miami's offense is kind of like Jacoby Brissett with Cleveland's offense.
I agree.
He's going to do the small things you need him to do just to keep the chains going, just to keep the chains moving, just to keep the engine running, and that'll work for them. And Miami's defense, man, they gave Josh Allen all the blues in the world, and they're gonna torture Zach Wilson. Even on the road, I like Miami.
2-2 Falcons at 2-2 Buccaneers. I think these are both surprises. People expected the Buccaneers to be better. People expected the Falcons to be terrible. They've actually been competitive in most of their games. Granted, they're not exactly playing juggernauts every week, but still, I give credit where credit is due. The Falcons are playing, but I'm going with the Bucs. They're at home. Tom Brady can't lose to these guys right now, even though there's all the talk about his divorce and everything. I think the Buccaneers find a way to close this out. Or do you say, Josh, that ATL rises up?
No, it's Tampa. Atlanta's doing what they're doing, and they're not even using their stud tight end to do it. It's weird. Kyle Pitts is kind of like missing in action.
No love.
It's really, really strange. And I'm with you on this one. This is a game that Tampa has to win. This is the team that's going to win the NFC South, right? It's got to be Tampa because
I think so.
I don't think it's New Orleans. Panthers it's stink. Not going to be Carolina. And there's no way I see Atlanta being able to win this division. Yeah. It's Tampa. They're the class of the division for a reason. Bucks win this one.
We're going to Titans at Commanders. It's 2-2 Titans at 1-3 Commanders. You know, there was a second there. I thought Carson Wentz was back, and then I realized, oh no, he is back. It's just the inconsistent Carson Wentz that was back the whole time. I'm going with the Titans. They have enough on both sides of the ball to get the dub here.
Even the Titans can't screw this up, right?
Even
in theory. I mean, we thought the Chiefs couldn't screw it up against the Colts, but we've seen the Titans screw games up, dating back to the playoffs in their first couple games of the season. We've seen them screw games up. But I'm going to say even the Titans can't screw this one up. I think they go to Washington and win it.
2-2 Niners at 1-3 Panthers. The Fighting Matt Rules are in trouble, man. I think even with Jimmy G in there, man, they're going to terrorize Baker Mayfield. I got the Niners winning this one easy.
San Francisco is, they're back to that old familiar feeling, man. They got back together with the ex-girlfriend and everything is starting to get back to what it was. Jimmy G will lead into another win and we'll talk about how it's a fluke and he'll just go and do his job all quiet like and we'll look at it like it's crazy. Niners will win another one.
4-0 Eagles at 2-2 Cardinals. The Cardinals they've got talent, man. I like Kyler, but they're so inconsistent and the Eagles might be the most consistent team in football right now. I'm taking Philly.
I love what Philly's doing. I love how their offense is structured. I love how they tailor it around the guys that they have. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts can run. He can throw. Miles Sanders can run. We know that. And he's got two really good receivers to throw to. Devontae Smith, he won the Heisman for a reason. He won the Heisman as a receiver at Alabama. I should tell you something. And A.J. Brown, that draft day trade, I know a lot of people thought that was crazy, but that was a big coup for Philly, and it's paying off for him.
Yes.
The Eagles will roll, man. And the Cardinals I think the Cardinals have a lot of talent, but their talent is not in the front office, and it's not in the top of the organization because I don't know what they're doing. I got the Eagles in a route in this one.
Same here. 3-1 Cowboys at 2-2 Rams. I'm going with the Cowboys. Their defense is playing well, even with Cooper Rush. You know,
let Cooper Rush cook.
He's cooking. And frankly, the Rams are also highly inconsistent right now. They haven't been playing great. You saw them lose to the Niners on Monday night. They got blown out by the Bills on the opener. I think this Cowboys defense gives Matt Stafford a hard time, and the offense does just enough to beat the Rams.
You know what I love about the Cowboys, and this is going to sound like a dig at another team that we talked about earlier in the show. The Cowboys don't beat themselves, which is strange because we're used to the Cowboys beating themselves.
Yep.
With Cooper Rush in this defense, they're not beating themselves. The Cowboys, like the Steelers, have one of the bottom 10 offenses in the league in scoring. But the Cowboys defense, they only give up 15 points a game. And Cooper Rush doesn't turn the ball over. He's got 4 touchdowns and no picks. Dallas does not shoot themselves in the foot. The Rams, however, have done that a few times already. The Rams don't look like the team that won the Super Bowl last year. And all they did was lose Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. And somehow things got different. But this offense doesn't look the same as it did before. I think the warts are starting to show because they had teams in the playoffs that couldn't really expose them. Dallas might help them expose those warts and let Cooper cook. I got the Cowboys, man. This is going to keep rolling.
Same here. AFC North showdown on Sunday Night Football. The 2-2 Bengals face the 2-2 Ravens in Baltimore. I'm going with Baltimore. I think that they're a better team right now. I think Lamar Jackson's in a better situation. The Bengals have done a good job to rebound from being 0-2. But they still haven't looked good yet. I think this is another reminder that they still have a long, long way to go as a young team.
I like Baltimore in this one, too. This is one of those John Harbaugh games. And the two coaches of the class of the division are John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin games are a thing, and John Harbaugh games are a thing. And they tend to take place in Baltimore on primetime TV, and this will be another one.
I agree with you there. Last one, I think we'll both agree on this one as well. 1-3 Raiders at the 3-1 Chiefs. Woof, that's gonna be another boring primetime game for the NFL. I'm going Chiefs.
A Belichick disciple failing again as a head coach? Is that a thing?
Is that a thing? Because that's for what, you know, Josh and I, we make this joke amongst ourselves, but if you're listening to or watching the podcast, you're sitting there saying, like, why are they taking it? Because we always hear about how Mike Tomlin doesn't have a coaching tree. And they say, well, who does have a coaching tree? Well, Bill Belichick. Well, his coaching tree is terrible.
He
doesn't have a coaching tree because they're out there. They just fail immediately. And people might say, what about Mike Vrabel? Never coached under Bill Belichick. Just a player. Yep. Not the same thing. Yep. It's
ironically, his best coach out of his tree, maybe Brian Flores.
That's how about that, right? That's crazy. But anyways, so we're both going Chiefs there.
The Chiefs Raiders. Offense. I think they're pissed off after they blew that Colts game. I think they're going to come out ready to attack, and
I agree too. I think that they're pretty upset about that as well. We still got Steelers versus Bills. We will talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. So don't go anywhere with our final predictions and breakdowns of how this game is going to go. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NFL season, which now enters Week 5. Also, Major League Baseball playoffs are here. Check them out. There's all the betting odds and lines and information. You also got NBA preseason gearing up, which means the NBA is right around the corner, as is the NHL. It's the best time to be betting on sports because all the major sports are kicking. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action when you visit BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Josh Taylor. Josh, it's time to get down to Steelers at Bills. Now, the Steelers open up. If you go to betonline.net, you can see they open up as 14-point underdogs. It is the first time since the NFL merger that Steelers have been a 14-point underdog. They were the last team in the NFL to not be a 14-point underdog in that span. But as Kenny Pickett said, he doesn't think they're underdogs. We do. But being realistic, the Steelers are underdogs. This is a Bills team that's built to win the Super Bowl this year. This is a Steelers team that's trying to figure out what their identity is. This is going to be a tall task. But if there is hope for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game, where does it lie for you, Josh?
It lies in what they do in the first quarter. It lies in the first drive. It lies in the first couple drives, especially if they get the ball first. The Steelers have to be – I know a lot of people are saying, oh, Kenny Pickett's aggressive. He goes downfield. I don't mind that form of aggressiveness, but there's other ways for your offense to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. And the way I think this offense needs to be aggressive, it's the one way they haven't been aggressive yet. You got to be physical. I need 60 minutes of physical play from this team because we haven't seen it yet in four games. I'd love to see them start with that kind of start to the game. Now, I know Buffalo's got the number one pass ring defense. I think they're either the top or second defense in yards and scoring. They're top two in each of those categories. So we're talking about a unit where it's going to be hard to just come and hit them in the mouth. But you got to find ways to either make them over-aggressive and take advantage of it or do some things that they maybe don't see coming. This is one of those times where some stuff in the Matt Canada offense you haven't seen yet in weeks one through four, maybe you break it out here in week five. Some of the stuff that we haven't really seen them do a lot of in certain games that you and I pointed out hasn't been there, maybe we see it this time around. Maybe we see a lot more of that play action that we're talking about. Maybe we see a reliance on the run game, and maybe we see some more misdirection in that run game. Maybe we start seeing more shifts in motion. Maybe we start seeing Buffalo's defense have to play a little bit more slow and think about what's happening and maybe have to be stretched horizontally to figure out what's going on. If there's a time where Matt Canada's offense needs to go full Matt Canada, now's the time to do it. It has to be in the first quarter. They got to set the tone early.
I agree setting the tone early is important, but I also say a lot of this will come down to winning the possession downs, to extending drives, and winning time of possession. And I talked about this earlier in the week too, but it's oh so important to be able to win, to be able to extend drives. The Steelers last week in the second half went 5 of 6 on third downs, and the one that they didn't get, Kenny Pickett went out and got with a fourth down quarterback sneak. The Steelers rank 20th right now in third down offense. The Bills, they rank 19th in third down defense. This is an opportunity, I think, for the Steelers to find a way to say, hey, if you can string it together. And again, that's 20th with Mitch Trubisky starting all but two quarters for your season. That can be a factor for you to win more of those possession downs and to get things going, get things going for your offense. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, doing elite stuff, just keep drives alive, you know, and avoid more third downs, you know, try to make it less, yes. You know, win on first and second down. So the third downs are easier or they don't exist. Either way, I think that's the key there. The Steelers rank next to last in time of possession in the NFL right now. I'm not saying that they're going to eventually just get back up into the middle right away, but they need to have a game where they're equaling out or even winning the time of possession against the Bills. They beat their first team in time of possession last week against the Jets, but it was by 2 seconds. They needed to be, you know, 5-6 minutes. Keep Josh Allen off the field, and because if in the hope of hopes, I'm not predicting, you know, anything crazy here. The script for the Steelers to win is it's a very narrow path, but that narrow path is walked by the defense playing lights out and the offense keeping them off the field so that they don't have to play lights out for 15 drives in this game. They could play lights out for 8 drives in this game or lights out for 6 drives. And then they kind of just like hang in there for 2 drives. If the offense can do that, I see them having a chance. That's the biggest key there, but it's time to do predictions here. Josh, give me how you think this game plays out. Where's the turning point in this game that gets to the final result? And what is your final result with your final score?
I talked about how there's John Harbaugh games and Mike Tomlin games, right? We talked about this. This could be a Mike Tomlin game. Cincinnati was a Mike Tomlin game. And I'm going to bring this up again, Chris, because you know I like to mention this. Their last 51 games, this team is 30-20-1 in their last 50 regular season games, and then 23 of those 30 wins, defense, ball control, even a positive turnover margin. If there's a day you're going to do that and follow that formula to win a game, it's got to be this one. And by the way, one of those 23 games where they did that, one of them was week one last year against Baltimore, or against Buffalo, in Buffalo. Week one last year was one of those games where they did exactly that formula. But at the same time, of course you want to follow that script, but we're going to talk about what we talked about earlier too. Win the possession downs, extend drives. You mentioned how they're next to last in time possession. They're also next to last in average drive length. They cannot sustain drives. Yep. Too many three and outs, too many four play drives where things just go badly. They have to extend drives. They got to run the ball well. They got to use play action that we're talking about. And there's another important part of this. Don't turn the ball over. Every game they've been minus in the turnover battle, they have lost this season. They were +5 against Cincinnati. Granted, things went kind of weird at the end, but also because they couldn't sustain drives. Sustain drives, you finish off Cincinnati. Sustain drives, you finish off the Jets. I'm going to keep saying this. Sustain drives, don't turn it over. It actually move the ball down the field. We talked about it in the preseason. Mike Tomlin talked about it with his quarterbacks. Move the ball, be efficient, and don't turn it over. And they haven't done that for four quarters. If they could put together four quarters of doing that, they could be in this game. And I've heard different people talk about this. Mike Tomlin is the best underdog coach in the league. He wins a lot of games that you don't expect him to win, and some of them come on the road. This could be one of them. I don't think they're going to be a double possession loss here. I think they're going to keep this game close. I do think the turning point will be an eventual Steelers offense turnover. I'd like to see them go a full game without making a mistake that big, but I think that will be the turning point. There's probably going to be a turnover somewhere. Buffalo will capitalize on it, and Josh Allen will make them pay.
I got the Bills winning 31-21. My turning point is similar to you. I think an offensive turnover. I think eventually the Steelers defense will come out with a comparable game plan that'll keep them alive early. But I think even with Kenny Pickett and everyone's excited to see him, you got to temper your expectations for a rookie in his first start against such a really good team. I mean, this Bills team, they are stacked. They got a defensive line. They got edge rushers. They got you know, linebackers. They've got safeties. They've got corners. You know, they are lined up on defense. On offense, you got Josh Allen. You have weapons. You know, it's gonna be tough. Like if the Steelers were fully healthy with TJ Watt, I would give them a fairer shake at this.
I agree.
And I would too. Would also need all of their complements of their secondary. And right now, there is good news that Minkah Fitzpatrick limited in practice on Thursday, and Terrell Edmonds limited as well. There's hope that those guys can get back and be able to play for your secondary. But still, you need to make sure that your secondary is for what this secondary was built to have was – you know, Akella Witherspoon, Levi Wallace on the outside, and then Cam Sutton, who you could move between whatever spot that you wanted. And then you throw out to a lot of different things. You start going to different situations. So they have been able to be that. I think that was their biggest problem against the Jets when it, what they did to Joe Burrow. If you go back and look at the all 22, they were able to confuse him. They switched up their coverages. They showed this, went to that, and it fooled him a lot. They haven't been able to do that as much, you know, since they've been out there a lot, and two, since Akella Witherspoon went down, because he's a big part of that.
They did a little bit against Mac Jones too.
They did.
One of them resulted in the Minkah Fitzpatrick interception, and the other one should have been a Cam Sutton interception.
Yeah,
but he dropped it, but they did a little bit of it against Mac Jones, and it paid off. I forgot to give my score for this one. I got Bills 31-24. The Steelers offense finally cracks 20 points on their own without the defense's help. They finally do it. But it's not going to be enough because the Bills are just good,
man. They're just that good.
They're
just that good. And again, this isn't a slight on the Steelers. It's just this is a rough time to be up against those guys. But
there's
a reason why
the Bills are a Super Bowl favorite in the AFC.
Exactly. But I do think this is still a more fun game for Steelers fans to watch. Yes. I think that Kenny Pickett has some really strong moments, just not strong enough to win the game.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what something you see. But I also think it could be interesting if they do hold Josh Allen, you know, steady for a little bit, if they stop him and Stephon Diggs for connecting for big plays, even with the injuries that they're suffering, that will make this game interesting. And I'll be interested to see how Kenny Pickett rises in those moments, because it's not just the stat sheet. It's when you score and how you score. You know, when your team needs you. I mean, the Steelers needed Kenny Pickett's two touchdowns in that Jets game. They did need those interceptions he threw, but he was able to get those drives and make them work. if the Steelers defense gets them a couple opportunities to either tie the game or take the lead or extend a lead, you know, in this game, can Kenny Pickett rise to the occasion and make that work? I think that'll be a big question to see what his, what, how comfortable is he actually, and was last week just an anomaly that we're, that because, you know, just because he was getting his first action and people didn't know what to look for.
That could tie into the aggressive part of it too. The defense could be aggressive in those first couple of possessions and get stops. We saw them do it for what, the first 20 minutes of that playoff game against Kansas City. TJ Watt was involved in that game. I know it kind of makes a difference, but if they can get, it didn't have to be 20 minutes of game time, but if it could be two or three possessions where maybe all Buffalo gets out of it is 3 points and the Steelers can be aggressive enough on offense to get points on their end, we're talking about a much different ball game here. And that's what you want. You don't need to go in and try to blow anybody's doors off, but if you could just plant small seeds here and there, if you can slow their offense down, if you can make their defense freeze, if you could just make a play here, a play there, and just kind of chip away at it. I'm going to go PJ Flex style and just row the boat. You know, if you can chop this tree down, it might be possible. They did it last year. I know TJ Watt was there and the defense was fully healthy to do it, but it was the same concept. It was just a play here, a play there, confuse Josh Allen here, get after him there, a big play on special teams, a block punt in the, being the difference in the game. If you can just do some of those small things and maybe show a couple things that Buffalo hasn't seen to throw them off their game, you got a shot at it. You have a shot. I won't say they can win it, but they could have a shot.
We will see if they do have a shot Sunday, 1 p.m. Buffalo. We'll see if the Steelers do make things happen there. And then tune back in here on the Locked On Steelers podcast after the game. I'll have my initial reaction video that's a bit shorter. And then, of course, my full episode up Sunday night. It'll be a fun one to talk about. Josh, thanks so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
I'll give the two simple ways. On the TV side, CBSPittsburgh.com. Usually find me Friday, Saturday nights on KDKA. And then on Pittsburgh CW for the Ireland Contracting Nightly Sports Content 35. But also every Wednesday, the Wednesday warning. I'm starting this, started this week with CBS Pittsburgh. I write what to expect in every Steelers game. Write that in the posts on each Wednesday. Also, 93.7 The Fan. I've been doing Wednesday nights a lot recently. Next Wednesday coming up, 6 to 10:35 on 93.7 The Fan. You can listen on the Odyssey app, just like you can listen to the Locked On Steelers podcast on the Odyssey app. So you can knock out two in one and make it work that way. But that's the best way to go. And also, of course, social media, Josh Taylor HD. Can't lose there.
Absolutely do check out Josh. He is amazing, as you can tell when you hear him and watch him on our shows. Thanks so much for joining me, Josh. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can also find my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I'm covering Pitt Athletics. Pitt's got Virginia Tech this weekend at Acrisure Stadium. If you're going to the game, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. I will try to meet up with you if I have the time. You can also check out this show, Locked On Steelers, just like you said, on Odyssey, but also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and, of course, YouTube. If you watch this video on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel, hit the notifications button so you get updates whenever we drop an episode. Thanks again for checking us out. Again, I'm Chris Carter. We'll see you again after the game Sunday, and hope you guys have a great weekend.